Crows. That booby track kind of guitar.
Yeah.
I like that.
Break, but on, break on through to the other side.
Yeah, I was just saying, it sounds like... I like that.
Yeah.
Nice little retro feel there. All right, like that for a little...
You don't hear a lot of that kind of organ, like a Hammond B. Sometimes in worship, some worship teams still incorporate that a little bit, but other than that,
yeah, some of the gospel ones, yeah, still have the Hammond sound. That's a classic keyboard sound. Awesome. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I'm here in Venice, Florida, at Epiphany Cathedral. We're at the Cathedral Parish of the Diocese of Venice in Florida, and unfortunately the cathedral is gutted, so they're having they set up in the parish center kind of a temporary church, and so that's where we'll be speaking tonight on the We Will Serve the Lord tour, you know, the second night of the tour. Last night we were in Naples at Elizabeth Seton Parish, and it went great turnout, great feedback. Pastor was very, very happy, Pastor Casey Jones. And so now we are in Venice. And please pray for us. There's a hurricane warnings and watches and all that kind of stuff. And people are, looks like they're going to be evacuating here. So we're trying to, we may have to pivot a little bit on our tour schedule. But, you know, we trust in the Lord. So keep us in your prayers. And Ace, man, great to have you back.
Thanks. It was good to see family and celebrate my daughter's 21st birthday. But, you know, it's always good to be back and in the hot seat. So we had a good time. I am not a poker player at all, but she wanted to do a casino night to celebrate her birthday. So I won a little bit of cash. But I was like, once I got up enough that I felt safe, I was like, let's just go get steak and lobster. Like, I can afford it now. Yeah. One good meal out of it. Of course, we want to say congratulations to our friends at Salt and Light Radio. They are serving Idaho, both on the AM and FM dial. So if you're listening to them, Keith Pettijohn and his great team at Salt and Light Radio celebrating 15 years with EWTN Radio.
It's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we break open God's words in the Psalms to bring you to a deeper love and intimacy with Jesus Christ through His Word, through the sung praises of the Psalms, which we hear at Mass every single day. So today we're going to look at Psalm 55. So Psalm 55 is written by David. So in this section of the Psalms 51 through 72 are written by David, right? So that's in book two. So this one, the prescript is the entire first verse of the Psalm. It says, "For the choir master on stringed instruments, a maskil of David." So maskil, again, is one of those words, Hebrew words that, today it means enlightened one or scholar. But we don't know what it means back at the time that these psalms were written. Same thing like Miktam, you know. So that's another one that sometimes, Miktam of David. So take that for what it's worth. So David dives in verse 2. "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Do not hide from my pleading. Attend to me and reply. With my cares, I cannot rest." You know, I loved the beautiful simplicity and humility of the start of Psalm 55. It's almost like he's just asking God for help. Like, you know how you need help? You're like, I can't do this alone. I'm going to need somebody to help me. And you think, who can I get to help me? Who can I reach out to help me? And it's almost kind of with that kind of feel with David. You know, listen to my prayer, God. Don't turn your back on me. You know, I can't rest, you know, because of the things that are on my mind. I need to talk to somebody. You know, I need help with this. You know, I love that, just the beautiful humility of David's prayer. Then he continues in 4. Now he starts to explicitly talk about more of what the issue is. "I tremble at the shouts of the foe, at the cries of the wicked, for they pile up evil upon me. In anger, they malign me. Right, I'll tell you, it never feels good when you're criticized. Even let's be real. Even when somebody says, I want to give you some constructive criticism. I want to give you some, you know, constructive feedback, you know, and it probably is extremely helpful for you. That's probably true, but it still doesn't feel good to hear negative things about anything that you're doing. Although, again, criticism is sometimes good because it can help. It can help you improve. It can help you get better. But here, what's happening with David, they're criticizing him. We're not sure exactly what they're criticizing him about, but we can relate to that today. When we stand strong in this culture of woke, in this culture of death, in this culture of individualism and conformity, and we stand with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we stand with the truth of our faith, we're going to get criticized. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't. And that's why a lot of people won't do it. They'll acquiesce. They'll keep their mouths shut. You know, and you got to remember, we got to stand before Jesus and give an account for our life. You know, when did I see you hungry? When, if you did this, at least my brother and sister, you did this to me. When did I speak up for you, Lord? Why, you know, when I had an opportunity to open my mouth to honor you and to praise you, to stand up. And I didn't do it because I was afraid. You know, we try to avoid the criticism. We try to avoid people yelling at us. But, you know, sometimes the truth calls for it. You know, Jesus told the truth, they killed him. You know, and they spat on him and beat him. The same thing's going to happen to us. And David shows now the depth of what's going on in his heart here. My heart is stricken within me. Death's terror falls upon me. So we can almost feel the weightiness and the heaviness that that this wickedness is having upon his soul, upon his psyche. You know, death's terror falls upon me, right? So he's even equating what he's feeling with the feeling of death. Trembling and fear overcome me, and horror overwhelms me. Now think about this. David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, we read about the exploits of David, not only against Goliath, but when he got the foreskins of the 100 Philistines so he could marry Saul's daughter. We read over and over of the tremendous battles and successes of David, but now we see more of his humanity, right? We see more of his humility, more of his humanness, and he's afraid. Even the bravest warrior like David feels fear, right? And he's feeling fear because of the wickedness that's coming upon him. Again, probably one of the Psalms that were written when he was escaping persecution from Saul, right? And that's a first Samuel 18 through 28. And so he's feeling the weightiness of all of this. And so do we. So do we. When we're going through something difficult, something heavy, we can physically feel the weight of it on our hearts. It's almost, that's all we can think about. You know, it's hard for us to do anything else because we're so focused on this pain and the different things that we're going through. You know, and David feels the same way. So it's a very human thing, very human emotion. Then he continues, I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove to fly away and be at rest. I would indeed escape far away and take refuge in the desert. I shall await him who saves me from the raging wind and tempest. So now, in the midst of his fear, he's imagining a better place. He's imagining what it's going to be like to when the Lord intervenes into his life to bring him out of this darkness and into the Lord's beautiful light. And I love this. Again, David uses a lot of analogies with nature and with animals. Oh, I had wings like a dove, right? A dove is an animal of peace, right? The dove that flew from the ark and Noah and brought back the olive branch, or the dove that descended upon Jesus at the baptism at the Jordan, right? And doves are often a symbol of peace. So David uses Ohad wings like a dove to fly away and be at rest, right? He wants to be in a place of peace. He wants to be in a place of contentment. He wants to be in a place where his heart is not feeling the heaviness and the weightiness. And he's begging God for that. Again, I love this beautiful simplicity, humility of David.
Well, and we talk about, you know, don't let anything rob your peace. But yesterday when I was flying home, there was that moment, and you experience it often as much as you tour, is you get above the clouds, and it's almost like you're just waiting to see God's face at some point. Like you're so high above everything else. But it was amazing because it was right at sunset. So just the tapestry of how God kind of blended all of the clouds and the sun was just this one little wink. Like you couldn't help but think, man, is this anything at all like what it will be like? As we talk about, you know, David's dreaming of heaven, and we've talked about this on numerous shows of just what it's going to be like, what's going to feel like. But it is that peace. Like, to me, any cares that we think that we, well, yeah, that doesn't bother me anymore, there's still always that little bit of fear, that little bit of stress, that little bit of something that we carry with us, even when we know we're leaning on God on a daily basis. But what is that ultimate serenity of peace going to be like?
Yeah. And so we have to think about ways to find that peace. You know, one of them is turn off the television.
Yeah.
You know, I seriously turn it off. You know, is that bringing you the peace that your heart is seeking for? I don't think so. Mm. You know, or if you're addicted to your phone, how about this? Delete the social media apps off your phone.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't delete the other apps like the health app or travel apps or music apps or whatever. I'm saying the ones that drain your time in the death scroll. Yeah. You know, the death scrolls when your fingers moving up and, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, you know, entertain me, make me feel something, make me feel good.
Yep.
You know, so that death scroll or just mindless wandering. You know, if you look, if that doesn't give you peace, delete that off your phone.
Yeah.
You know, or Eucharistic adoration is my go-to.
Amen.
And again, he says, I would indeed escape far away and take refuge in the desert. Think about this, refuge in the desert, right? I wouldn't think about going there, but hold on. The early monastics, right? We have the apostolic age, and then we have the church fathers, right? We have the church fathers who went where? Those early monks into the desert, right? St. Anthony. The first monk, he went into the desert to find that peace and serenity and that solitude. And what is he going to do there? I will await him who saves me from the raging wind and tempest. So he has the confidence of God while he's waiting for God to intervene. And he knows that God will help him. We're talking about OCIA today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear from you. Doing the playing that bass, walking bass sure. Line and with the right hand. Ooh, that coordination to do that. I don't think I could do that.
That whole Jerry Lee Lewis, why, he wasn't the only one. I mean, there's Little Richard and numerous others, but.
I like that. So, you know, I once heard a solo by Oscar Peterson. Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
And he was playing so many different styles, but he came to his boogie-woogie. He was just playing it so fast. Mm-hmm. His fingers were moving so fast. It was, like, unbelievably skillful.
Well, you know, and what's cool, as a pianist, like, it's just you're rolling your finger off so fast. Like, I mean, you won't talk, you think you get calluses from playing the guitar, man. You're like rolling off. I was like, nah, I'm just going to play chords and worship music. I'll admire those who can do the things I cannot.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about OCIA, formerly known as RCIA. So we're going to talk about the OCIA process and would love to hear from you. What is your experience when you went through OCIA? Were there things that you wish that you would have known better? What were some great experiences that you had? What did you were most surprised about that you learned when you went through the process? And how is it helping you right now in your life, trying to live your Catholic faith every day? That's what we're talking about today. OCIA. Again, would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, add to your reading and also help you and your family as you're going through the school year. Thanks to Dr. Ray Guarendi. He's got a great book called Family Faith Under Fire, helping to answer some really amazing questions like, what do you do when the family doesn't want to go to church because dad doesn't? Or maybe some of the adolescent things that our kids are facing as they go to mass and how much do you make them go kind of situation. So he answers all of that in Family Faith Under Fire. Check it out when you shop EWTN Religious Catalog. Go to EWTNRC.com.
All right, very good. So again, I just want to mention, if you're in the area tonight, the boys and I, the guys from Australia, Charbel Raish, Dr. Robert Haddad, and Kevin Bailey, are going to be tonight in Venice, Florida, at Epiphany Cathedral. The event is from 6 to 8 p.m. We had, again, a great night last night in Naples. Now we're in Venice, and please pray for us. You know, we're gonna have a meeting after tonight to figure out this hurricane thing. Our phones have been blowing up about hurricane warnings, and we've been watching the news. It's all over the news here about the storm that's coming, and so we may have to make a pivot or change the schedule a little bit. But the most important thing is we want to be safe. So please pray for us as we make decisions about what we're going to do. We're supposed to be moving here to Savannah, Georgia tomorrow. So pray for that. All right, OCIA. So first of all, RCIA, it was the rite of Christian initiation of adults. And now it's the order of Christian initiation of adults. Basically, there's the name change, but the process is basically still the same. So this is the process that normally would occur when someone wants to become Catholic, someone wants to come into the Catholic Church. They go through this process. And what it is, it's about learning the faith. You don't go into a job, you don't go into anything without learning about it first, right? But what is it supposed to be? In other words, what's the point of becoming Catholic? You know, you become Catholic not to memorize dogma. You know, the teachings of the church are extremely important, the catechism and the scriptures and the different teachings that are handed down to us, right? Tradition is handing down that were given to us by Jesus Christ and the apostles and protected and defended by the teaching authority of the church. All that is extremely important. But you don't become Catholic because of that. Right? You don't become Catholic because your fiance is Catholic, right? I mean, when I did marriage prep in the parish, you know, and the other person's not Catholic, you know, I would ask, hey, have you thought about becoming Catholic? Yeah, I'm thinking about it. You know, I think it might be good for our family. No, I said, well, hold on. Don't do it because she's Catholic, or don't do it because he's Catholic. You know, don't change because of them. You should want to come into the church because you believe that is where God wants you to be. Because say this thing doesn't work out, so you guys end up not getting married, you know? I went through this whole thing, became Catholic, and now I'm not dating, so I'm not gonna be Catholic anymore. You can't do that, you know? So don't become Catholic because of someone else, or you think it might be better. No, you have to become Catholic. You believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything that the Catholic Church teaches and believes to be true. That is the church founded by Jesus Christ, right? What is the point? The whole point and the primary point and the foundation upon which everything else in OCIA is built is entering into a covenant relationship with God. It's about falling in love with God. It's about uniting your heart with the heart of God in a relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion. That is the foundation and the basis for the OCIA process, right? I mean, for me, day one, if you walk in, okay, open up, everybody open up the page one of the catechism. Let's start reading. To me, that's a mistake. People are coming from all different places. Some people aren't baptized. You know, they feel, you know, the Lord calling them through the natural moral law in their heart. They're looking at the culture around them, saying nothing makes sense. But the Catholic Church is standing up against this culture. When I look more at Catholics, you know, it makes sense. Because what? They're attracted because they see you living your faith. That's why they're attracted in the first place. Or they may hear a debate on YouTube between a Catholic apologist and a Buddhist, or you know, an anti-Catholic or something like that, or an atheist. And they're impressed with what they're hearing from the Catholic side. You know what? What the Catholic guy's saying, that makes some sense, you know, and you want to find out more, you know. So those are the reasons why people may be thinking, but ultimately, the purpose is to enter a deep, intimate, loving, life-giving relationship with the living God. And everything should be geared toward that end. So you have, so for example, if I were doing it, my first class would be on prayer. Would be on prayer, not dogma, prayer. What we have to understand is God is, the catechism calls it divine condescension. God comes down to our level. He wants to share life. He's inviting us to share his life. Right? He's extending an invitation. So we have to learn how to listen to that invitation. We have to learn how God is speaking to us. We have to quiet ourselves down so we can hear God's voice speaking to us as we're going through this process, right? As we're learning about the faith, and that everything that happens is another level of deepening intimacy with the Lord. So I would definitely start with prayer first. Right, getting heart to heart with God, and then moving from there. You know, would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear about your experience with OCIA. Maybe you came into the church. What was it like for you? What were some of the highlights? What were some of the things that you wished was emphasized more? What is your life like now? You know, a year or 2 years or 10 years after OCIA? Are you on fire? Are you in love with Jesus more than ever? Would love to hear from you. Maybe you teach OCIA. You want to share some helpful things that you found that would really help someone going through the process open their hearts more deeply to what God is giving them. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michelle on YouTube, I still have a few hurdles to becoming Catholic. All right, that's fair. Funny thing is, my relatives are Catholic, but I'm so used to being Anglican / Episcopalian. Yeah, okay, cool. You know, that's a good starting point. At least you're Christian, right? You believe. So you have to ask yourself, what are those hurdles? You know, and here's the thing for Michelle and others listening as well. You know, you can also go through the OCIA process just to learn more about the Catholic faith. You don't have to do it to become Catholic. You know, for example, you have a young man or who thinks he might be called to the priesthood. What does he do? He goes to the seminary. Going to the seminary doesn't mean you're going to become a priest. Going to the seminary means you're discerning if God is calling you to the priesthood. Same thing for a young woman may enter a religious order. And, you know, she believes that God is calling her. And so she goes and joins a religious order. So she's not, you know, she may not end up becoming solemnly professed, but she's discerning, is this what God is calling me to? Or is this the order that God is calling me to? Maybe I do have a vocation, but it's not with this particular order. Maybe my charism is different. So you're going to discern. You're going to discern. Same thing with the diaconate. You join the diaconate program, you know, with the hopes of one day becoming a deacon, but you're there to discern. Is this calling from God? Is this the right time? Is my wife on board? Right? So don't be afraid to enter into the process. Same thing with OCIA. You go there. Again, you know, you think, I might want to become Catholic, I may not want to become Catholic. All right, Michelle and others listening, go to OCIA. Ask the questions. that you have about the Catholic faith. Learn what the church actually teaches. Not, again, you can't trust everything you're hearing on social media or on podcasts, you know, especially if they're not from faithful Catholics, you know, because they're what it's going to do is confuse you, right? So you want to go to good, faithful sources. Go to OCIA and just say, be honest, say, Father or, you know, DRE, you know, I'm necessarily not here to become Catholic. I'm Anglican or Episcopalian. I'm just here to learn what the Catholic Church actually teaches. I have questions about things in the Catholic Church. I'm here to get my questions answered. That's great. That's fair. And nobody in their right mind is going to say, well, now you, if you're not going to become Catholic, you can't be here. That's ridiculous. So go ahead and go and ask those questions. Why not? I mean, if you don't become Catholic, then you don't become Catholic. But at least you have the answers to the questions that you're seeking. Right. So that's beautiful. Again, we're talking about the OCIA process. Would love to hear from you. What was maybe when you came into the church, what was your process like? What are some of the things that you enjoyed about it? What are the things that you wished you would have had more of, or you felt, you know, fell a little bit short? And I say that not to criticize anybody that teaches OCIA, but in my travels, I have come upon more than once people who have gone through the OCIA process, or that they're newbie Catholics, and they still have problems going to a priest for confession. You know, so I mean, I get it. It's nervous sometimes going to confession. I get that, but they still have problems. You hear what I said? Going to a priest for confession—that's a problem, right? So that should have been worked out through the OCIA process. Let me give you an example. This past weekend, I was at that men's conference I mentioned in Midland, Texas, where I spoke with Jim Caviezel. And during my talk, I talked about specifically why you have to go to a priest to confession, to try to encourage the men, especially those who haven't gone for a long time, and to encourage them to go to confession. So after my talk, I was at my table. A man comes up to me. He said, Deacon, I just want you to know, I'm not Catholic. I'm a Protestant. I said, well, praise God. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. He goes, you just rocked my world. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you know, I have never gotten a good answer from a Catholic as to why you have to go to a priest for confession. You were the first one I heard that showed Old and New Testament about why you should go to a priest. He goes, I was like, he said to himself, I've never heard that before. He goes, this is, I mean, it was just mind blowing. And what he wanted more, he wanted to hear more. He wanted to learn more. And so what I do, I gave him one of my, my USB products for free. I said, this is my gift to you. I said, I want you to learn more about the Catholic faith. I want, you know, if you're interested, I want to give this to you as a gift so you can keep learning and growing in your faith. You know, that's how we grow the church. People need to fall in love and understand why to become a Catholic. So love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. William is calling from Tennessee, listening on St. Rose Radio. William, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yes, thank you, Deacon. I just wanted to point out that my experience with OCIA has been a wonderful one. I've actually went through several years ago, 2018 to 19, and then I've sat in on the class as sort of a helper off and on since then. But my point being is that, in a way, OCIA, when you go through it the first time, it's almost like jump-starting your battery. It's just the beginning. You can't learn it all even in that one year. It's just a lifelong process. And I've even gone to with the same wonderful instructors for more than one year, and you still learn new things under the same instructors. And I might even recommend online series like Father John Ricardo. He's got a wonderful series. So just don't be disappointed if you don't get it all that first year, because it's really a lifelong process. That's my main point.
That's an excellent, Excellent point, William. And, you know, after the OCIA process, you know, St. Augustine talks about mystagogy. So if you, in the vigils, or what's it called, Office of Readings, after Easter, there's always, you know, a reading from Scripture, and then there's a reading from probably a church father. And some of those, the readings are from St. Augustine, or other church fathers talk about mystagogy, which is post-baptismal catechesis. So these, and William's point is very, very well taken. You have Catholics that just came into the church, they spent a whole year or maybe two, some parishes have a two-year OCIA process, and they're still learning. Look, I've been Catholic my whole life. I'm still learning. I'm still, that's why I have 4,000 or almost 5,000 books at home. I'm continually learning. I'm continually growing. You know, the Catholic faith is like the a well. You know, you just keep going down. And you never reach the bottom of it. You know, so you're constantly learning. You're constantly growing. So, yeah, that's a great point, William. Don't feel that you always have to learn everything in that first year, because you're still growing. You're still developing. You know, but be open. But your heart should be open to wanting more, to learning more, to growing more in your faith. You should be excited, on fire, in love. You know, and that's what the process should be about. So I love that, William. Great call. And we'd love to hear from you talking about the OCIA process today. Your experience, what it was like. Maybe you have some helpful tips. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Going to Peggy, calling from Royal Oak, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Peggy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It was great to hear from you. Would you like to share with us?
I am a new Catholic. I was just baptized at Easter, went through the OCIA process at my church a little over a year. It was phenomenal. The people that helped out at OCIA, the Father Grayson was wonderful. The information that we got is so inspiring, and it's just it's overwhelming almost when you hear all the good information and when you let it sink in how much God really loves you. It was such a profound experience.
Oh, I'm so happy. Congratulations, Peggy, you know, for coming into the church. And I'm so glad that you had a wonderful experience. What you said was absolutely key. It's about that loving relationship with God, deepening intimacy with the Lord. That's really what everything in the OCIA process should be geared toward. And it's great, whether you use something like Symbolon, you know, or you know, use some of the great Catholic resources we have up there, we have out there to help you grow and deepen your faith. You know, when I used to do it, I used to teach the classes myself, you know, because again, more personal, right? So, you know, I'm not opposed to technology and people using online resources, and there's some great stuff out there. But again, the whole point should be deepening, loving, and intimacy. So the way I did it, I talked about prayer, and understanding the Bible, because once you understand prayer heart to heart with God, we got to listen to understand how God speaks to us. And he speaks to us in his word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, Old and New Testament. So and then we talk about scripture overview. Then we start talking about some of the basics, fundamental theology, the Holy Trinity. And then we talk about specific classes on God the Father, another one on God the Son, another God the Holy Spirit. Then we talk about liturgy and sacraments. We move through the whole thing. It's a long process, but And what I encourage is ask questions. Ask questions. And no question is stupid. No question like, well, I don't understand. That's why you're there. So I love that passion, enthusiasm. Please keep that up, Peggy, as you continue to grow and learn in your faith. We're talking about the OCIA process today. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michelle on YouTube had a follow-up question. Should I be intimidated by cradle Catholics as a would-be new Catholic? Absolutely not. Catholics who brag about their faith or are a little bit arrogant about their faith that are cradle Catholics are still in the cradle. You know, they're not mature Catholics. Jesus says we must be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And the word there in Greek is teleos, or in Hebrew, talmim, which means mature, whole, and complete. That's the kind of face we want to put on as mature, whole, and complete Catholics, right? Not bragging, but again, we need to show the love and the heart of Jesus first. So, you know, you should not be intimidated. But because let's be real, a lot of cradle Catholics don't know their faith. Some people at OCIA know their faith better. They come into church, know it better than a lot of Catholics been Catholic their whole life. You know, so no, don't be intimidated at all. We'd love to go to Dave calling from McPherson, Kansas, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Dave, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, thank you, Deacon. I'm involved in our local RCIA program, RCOA, IO, I forget. Anyway, I've been involved for a number of years. I went through the program. I'm a cradle Catholic, but I went through the program, probably 25, 30 years ago. And it was really wonderful for me, even though I was pretty serious in my faith. But, you know, we're all on a path, and it helped a bunch. But I've been involved in the last few years at my local parish, and just walking alongside these people, these candidates who are searching for truth is so uplifting. But yeah. What I wanted to mention is in past years, we've had maybe 1, 2, 3 people interested. This year, we have 16, perhaps more. And I'm wondering, is there something going on in our country? People are searching and hungry for truth due to all the mistruths that, I don't know, we just have this huge class. Are you seeing the same thing?
Oh, yes, Dave. You know, you nailed it, Dave. You absolutely nailed it. People are looking around the culture and they're saying, wait a minute, these positions are so extreme, they're so banal, they're so empty, there's got to be something better out there. There's got to be something. Guess what? Covering my body with tattoos, you know, that didn't help me find meaning. You know, watching the political news all the time, that didn't help me find meaning. Listening to atheists, that didn't help me find meaning. So there's people are searching for truth. And ultimately, truth is what? A person, not an idea, not a philosophy, not a dogma. Truth is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People are at least inquiring about the Catholic Church. We're seeing larger OCIA groups because people are searching for Jesus. Ultimately, in their hearts, that's what they're seeking, a relationship, deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So great point, Dave, and thank you for your call. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to get to Patrick in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, but he says he's in the RCIA program right now. Not sure what I want out of it. Should I bring his kids, 7, 10, and 14 years old, to Mass? Absolutely. But you want to make sure if you bring them to Mass to explain to them why they're there. You know, well, we're not going to Mass because this is just what we do. Or, you know, we're going to be Catholic, we just have to come. No, you have to understand what the Mass is, what Jesus is doing for you at the Mass. He's literally giving us his life, right? The Mass is where Jesus literally gives us his life in his word and body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. So even at that age, they need to understand why they're there. Great, great call. Thank you, Patrick. Well, tomorrow is Wednesday. That means what? Word of God Wednesday. We look at Jeremiah chapters 42 and 43. And again, please keep us in your prayers as we continue to navigate this bad weather. And until we get together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.